Greetings, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Grog Pod Roguelike Podcast, where each episode we hunt through hardware stores for roguelike games, realize we're in the rogue adjacent department, and then pump the game full of ratings bullets. And if it reanimates at the end of the season, we'll revisit it for our end of year recap tournament. Like all podcast hosts, I am brain dead, flesh eating, and aimlessly shambling around. It's me, your host, Scott Berger. And with me are my Kentucky Fried Apocalypse surviving co-hosts.
This is Will Wright's, your undercooked egg that you thought you cooked, but now you're sick.
And it's me, Colin. I'm a little creepy zombie that's going to pop out at you.
And I'm the ubiquitous empty grocery store shelf. Hey, it's me, Andrew.
This week we are talking Project Zomboid, which... Yes, I know. We'll get to it in a second. Project Zomboid released early access November 8th, 2013. This is a PC exclusive where you can find it between either Steam or Good Old Games. And this was developed and published by a team called The Indie Stone, which I believe is a mostly UK-based group, but have people out in Canada and all sorts of other parts of the world. This is an extremely popular game, to put it mildly. It is not on our list of rogue games on Steam, but if it was, do we have any guesses as to where this would land? First off, maybe
number one.
You're not far off.
Number.
Well, I guess it's Slay the Spire, so number two.
How about number eight?
Well, the answer is if this was tagged a roguelike or any sort of those kind of categories, again, we're using a pretty stupidly loose umbrella here, or if it was tagged with procedural generation and permadeath, somehow avoiding all of those things, it would be the number three most popular rogue-ish style whatever game on Steam with 431,601 total reviews, sitting just behind. And okay, like admittedly, like this episode is gonna have like a bazillion asterisks in it. The top two here are Don't Starve Together with 524,000 reviews, and Lethal Company with almost exactly 500,000 total reviews. And then Project Zomboid would come in hot at number three here, followed by The Binding of Isaac Rebirth at 376,000. So again, we're kind of bending the definition here a little bit, but your average player of Project Zomboid has about 230 hours of gameplay in it. And just to put it in perspective, so I break these out into like percentile ranges here. The 25th percentile of people has like 26 hours of playtime. Median, the 230, or the middle chunk, 230. And then the 90th percentile has like 1,300 hours of gameplay in this game.
That's a wild amount of playtime. I wonder, my bet is that the number of ratings on this game is skewed. I bet you more, the average player of this game rates things more often.
That's a good question. And I wonder how many of those 430,000 ratings are just like accumulated ratings over 13 years versus other games.
I mean, it's still like a metric of like how intensely people like the game.
Sure. Yeah. But speaking of intensely liking, Will, what is your one sentence of what one does in Project Zomboid?
Well, that's a great question, Scott. And let me answer that with it's an isometric zombie apocalypse survival crafting game based in Louisville in 1993. That's basically what's going on here. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, but that's the one sentence, and that slight expansion on top of that is this is one of the deepest sort of. I bounced off this game initially. I played it for like a couple hours. I'm like, oh my god, there's just way too much. I don't feel like reading the wiki. Bounced off. I came back. You start playing, you start being like, okay, how does that work? What's welding? How do I get a carpentry? How do I barricade the door? And then as soon as you start getting curious, then you have to like research how does it actually work? And that's when you get into the vicious cycle of being forever playing Zomboid and on the wiki, on the map, and figuring out what's the best location? What are my goals? What am I trying to do? How does that work? And it's just, oh my God, this is going to be a favorable rating for me, to say the very least.
Yep. And this is going to be a preface of our blanket statement. It's okay to like a game. It's okay to not like a game. This is an all devs go to heaven episode for sure. But I know that the listeners are frothing at the mouth. They're slamming their
I
brakes.
feel like Scott, you have to add the caveat of two of we're all devs go to heaven, but also all podcasters go to heaven.
Not me.
Oh,
I don't want to
man.
go to heaven.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so the listeners are frothing at the mouth per the usual. They're slamming their brakes on their car in the middle of the intersection. They're pulling out their barbed wire wrapped baseball bats and they're screaming at the top of their lungs, shirtless and bleeding from the eyes. It's not a robot. And I was fully prepared to have Will go in and defend himself, but I did some putting the question to the Project Zomboid community and asking what they thought. And I have some answers here from Project Zomboid fans that kind of back Will up on this sort of pick here. So I'll read this one here from Duct Tape AI, who writes us to say. And so I guess like the question that I put out was like, would you Project Zomboid fans consider this like roguey in some sense? Like we're planning on covering it for a podcast. Like, what do you guys think? Duct Tape AI writes us to say, as far as map randomization goes, the structures are static, but what's in them largely isn't. There are specific exceptions, but generally each building has random items and zombies in it, and there are random placed quote stories as well, which make the places that they exist different than they would be by default. Also, there are quote treasure maps where you find maps marked up by NPC survivors that lead you to procedurally generated stories slash loot. I think of it as similar to Caves of Cud, our 2025 game of the year, where you might do the same quest run after run, but the world map is static. But what you find in the places you go to changes each time. If you're being really pedantic about definitions, then maybe it doesn't quite count. But it's a survival-based permadeath action RPG with deep progression systems and randomized run content. So I'd say it counts. As far as the like slash light dichotomy goes, if you die, you can make a new character in the same world, and all that stuff you did will stay. So you can move into your old base and stuff. There's also mods that let you transfer XP from one character to another, but that's not part of the vanilla game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's as roguelike as many of the other games we've played. Like, I think it falls, like, I've played a couple of characters. I have not played very many hours, but I have, in those couple of hours, I've already played a couple of characters. So far, my game has felt very roguelike in that I'm short, fast runs.
And
Extremely. I remember Andrew's very prescient statement that I wish I had come up with myself, but I have to give credit where credit is due, where like there's always like this, big argument of like it has to have procedural generation in it. Well, does Luck Be a Landlord have procedural generation? Does Risk of Rain does Slay the Spire question mark? Or is it meaningful gameplay impacting randomization?
Yeah, that, and I think runs, it has to be like runs of stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think this falls into the same category as a couple other things where the worse you are at the game, the closer it is to a roguelike. I put that in the
Yep.
same category as, I mean, Caves of Cud is that, RimWorld, which I think is still the least roguelike game we've played. Absolutely that. Despite being extremely procedurally generated.
And grid-based and some of the other check marks too,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's like roguelike shape, but not roguelike.
I'll tell you what, I'm just happy that so Scott was able to have some flexibility here. This was the way he put it was as a way of paying back for how terrible Pokemon Mystery Dungeon was for me and how much that hurt my soul. I got a little flexibility on this one, and I'll take it because I'll tell you what, I am absolutely loving this game. I just checked my hours. I was not expecting to see 116 hours. I don't exactly remember the install date, but this has just been my. I wake up, I'll play for a couple hours, do work, have a lunch break, and then go for a run, play some more. It's just great to come back to, and I'm always thinking about what's my next plan, what am I trying to do now, and it's just it's got that kind of Kenshi style addicting factor to it.
I'll read one more here from the Project Zomboid group. This one's shorter. This is from Ritanaru YT, who says the inability to reload your character favors roguelite status. I'll put that hard T on there. Does it actually need dungeons to count? Question mark. Well, you do lose your character. You can respawn and take advantage of your previous progress in that save. There's also no win condition. which we'll come to in a minute. The map never really changing isn't that big of a deal since the loot slash zombie slash events do change frequently enough. It's like playing Ilona, stay tuned and a half, where the overworld is the same every time. I think PZ is one of those games where people choose to play like a roguelike more than it actually is. Call it an honorary roguelite, LOL.
Yeah.
Here, here. Honestly, I think it's far less of a stress stretch than other games that we have played, that's for sure.
Ever since Stacklands, I think that was the one for me where I'm just like, are we really a roguelike podcast? I don't know.
I mean, there's a number of games that we've covered in the past that like certainly blur the line. I feel like RimWorld is close enough to Dwarf Fortress to like get it over the line, and that
Yeah.
like Dwarf Fortress having its own channel in the Roguelikes Discord like kind of opens that door a little bit. Previous episode Inscription, I think
Yeah.
certainly like
I think
toys.
we're definitely an inclusive roguelike podcast.
Yes.
Like anything that's inspired by feels like
Is
vaguely
it vibin'?
resembles and that we want to do. Like I don't want to feel constrained, man.
Yeah, if I will always bend in the direction of we're having fun with something than being like overly pedantic about no, it has to pass 7 out of 9 criteria of the Berlin interpretation in order for it to be included on the podcast. Bam, 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 slam the door kind of thing. Yeah, sounds like
Indeed.
at
Well, with
least
that out of the way, that issue dead, buried, never to reanimate and
Nope.
rise from the grave, absolutely not out of the question. We can proceed with talking about this zombie survival game. First topic of discussion I need to put to the group: how we feel about zombie survival as a genre these days?
Fucking love it. Best genre out there. Or second best after cyberpunk, as for my own personal reasons.
Right. When are we getting that cyberpunk zombie survival game, huh?
Well, I mean, if you make mutants into your game, you kind of get zombies and the cyberpunk vibe. And it's not that I
I
fucking.
feel like those two genres are actually the opposite, though. One is they're dystopian in that the civilization is pinnacle at an awful place, and the other one is it has dropped down into an awful place.
Oh, but they are both deeply concerned with matters, themes of capitalism and consumerism and the like.
Is it?
But that's, of course, it is. I'll have
I'm still into zombies. I think they're still fun.
me.
Scott.
I don't know. Like I, there's some zombie pieces of media that I really like, and some that I do not like at all. And I really, really like the Resident Evil series. I really, really like the first season of the Walking Dead video game. Is Half-Life a zombie franchise?
No.
No,
No.
they're aliens, mutants. Do we I
I
know
mean,
that.
I know where you're coming from, but no.
Well,
Yeah.
it's an interesting question. Sorry, I shouldn't dismiss it so quickly. There
And I
is the
think
element of zombie apocalypse as a place, as a location. Like Black Mesa has that survival element. Survival is the most important thing. So, I
Yeah.
mean, it's adjacent, I would
I
say.
think zombies are a really lazy bad guy enemy antagonist design because they're invincible monsters that are just like one step up from like a skeleton horde, but with no necromancer that you can defeat to destroy all the walking dead. They can just amble around for infinity, right? Like you can just have zombies living on Earth for like 50 million years or something,
Yeah,
right?
like those necromancers. Yeah, they're like, they're only living forever too. That's a big problem for me.
Necromancer
Yeah, but
has made
they're
perfect
absorbing life
sense.
energy, so
All right, is
I think it's better to think of zombies not as antagonists or villains. They're an environment, like they're an environmental hazard, but where your game is based around that environmental hazard, at least for a game like Project Zomboid, like.
Yeah, and I agree, and I feel like there's an element to which and m maybe like Vampire Survivors is like a weird like corollary to this, where it's like you're not so much concerned about like oh there's just like giant tidal waves of enemies attacking you at all times, and that like that almost itself is like the map and the environment that you're interacting with, and like all the rest of the stuff that's in there is kind of ancillary to it, but I don't know. Like, I feel like there's times where I do like zombie media and other times where I do not. And I feel like in this specific case, I'm not so like super thrilled about this zombie
Well,
implementation.
have you thought about it much? What's the reason? What's the crux of the matter? Because I think from my point of view, the zombie is in many ways the an ideal enemy or antagonist. Because what is psychologically like? What are some of the most horrifying things? Well, it's not going to be the actual beast of the woods, right? Or the fantasy monster. It's usually some kind of form where it is human or like a human, and then it's just like mutate. It's just kind of some variant of that that is. That looks like mutated or otherwise decayed, disgusting. And so you see in that like something that horrifies you, that causes immediate disgust, but also that is a reminder that that's what you can become if you are a victim to them. And they're not exactly, they don't kill you very nicely either. It's going to be a gruesome, terrible death. And
Sure.
so
I've seen
there's
Shaun
a
of the
very
Dead.
strong horror factor with these guys.
Yeah, I
It's
mean,
true. It's true. I mean, zombies
I think
are
they're
popular for a reason. And that is one of them is that they're a very effective monster and effective terrifying force that you have to contend with.
But
I
also,
think
you feel
that
good about killing them too. That's
yeah,
another
you
great
don't
thing is
feel
that
it's
you don't
like
have to feel
whatever.
morally,
That's
oh
right.
no, it's got a soul. No, it's just killed the thing. Yeah, right away.
So
Well,
true, so
except
true.
for like you're killing your brother who turned into a zombie.
No, that's easy.
And I think that is
Oh, and
the
if you're a
that's
zombie, I'm taking you out right away.
He
No,
was
no
a Oh, that's
zombie?
fair. I mean, I'm gonna
Okay.
say that's so that's the big difference in zombie media between a video game and like TV or movie media is that movie media is focused 100% on like the human implications of people that you know turning into zombies. And yes, thank you, Will. If I turn into a zombie, you won't need to kill me because I'll find a way to like keep myself from doing harm to others. Like nothing I hate worse than zombie media than someone who gets bit and hides it. Like fucking or it's like or people who are like we won't put him down. It's like you should though.
I mean, those are all people that have never seen a zombie movie and clearly don't know that the computer AI is going to betray them at the last possible second because they hit it. But anyway, so this game, Project Zomboid, as you know, open world early access survival zombie crafting game, something that's pretty popular, to say the least. Like Will has certainly dragged us through. Well, I say the word drag. Will has
Everyone
invited.
loves it except for Scott. I'm gonna point that out. Everyone loves these games that I like. Everyone loves The Forest. I mean, everyone loves
Yeah.
what's the other one?
But and that's fair because I feel like people do like zombie media and zombie survival games. It is definitely a genre that's not for me specifically, and that's fine. I can definitely appreciate and understand like why people find it fun and interesting. It's just it's a me pro I fully understand it's a me problem and it's a thing that's just it's not for me, but yeah, so
But
Project
why is that?
Zomboid.
Again, this is the second time I've asked. Why
I
is
think
that?
it's because I don't know, like it's just it doesn't seem like in Resident Evil 2, for example, it's one of my probably one of my like top 10 games of all time. It feels like there is like a cool, cohesive narrative to it. It's I guess it's not so much a survival game, in the sense that like, oh no, I stubbed my toe. Now I have to like bandage my toe. But in order to bandage my toe, I got to read a book on how to bandage my toe. But I'm too dumb to read the book on how to bandage my toe. So I got to read a picture book on bandaging. And then like once I've read enough
You
picture
gotta
books on
grind up
bandaging.
your reading skill from picture book to child book.
Yeah, there's that. And then like the more, so I have a note in here about like simulationism and like as things become like more and more like simulators, there's like an escapist part of simulators and like a realism part of simulators. And when I was doing my pilot's license, like I was in X-Plane and like Microsoft Flight Simulator a lot because I wanted to like simulate like how the plane was flying and I wanted to be like real and stuff. And I get that like this game is trying to be real and like other zombie survival games or survival games in general are like, you know, you're naked and afraid. You're out in the northern wilderness of Vancouver Island and you have to like basically primitive technology return to monkey like your way to not starve to death.
Oh
And
no, your left bicep is cold.
yeah, like you're left and like I'll come to Dwarf Fortress here in a second. That's where I'm headed to. But like there's an aspect of like it becomes so simulationist where it's just like, why don't I just go outside and do this myself? And like, I'm in like I have a big enough yard that like the eternal war against blackberries is always going to be there, and I kind of feel like that's my zombie survival game. of just like fighting back the hordes of vines, and then like, oh no,
not
my
gonna
fingers
jump
cut.
scare you though. A blackberry bush is not gonna come out of nowhere and grab you.
Scott, I
This
can
is
hide in
no
your bushes if
danger.
you want. If you pay me, I'll scare you.
Now to like conversely, Dwarf Fortress is a very simulationist game where like a dwarf is gonna stub their toe. Oh no, it's infected, and then like, you know, you have to build a medic, and it's like a lot of the same kind of like irritating minutia, but it's not me having to do it. I'm delegating all of that nonsense to the dwarves, and there's like hundreds of them. They're expendable. Like, that's the idea. And I feel more annoyed about like, you know, having to like suture my own wounds and like pour iodine on it. And oh no, I didn't get the disinfectant ratio just right, and now I have gangrene. Like, I
That's
get
not a thing
it.
in this game, just so everyone
I
knows.
know, I
He's
know.
making
But
this up.
like, I get it. I understand why people get it, but it feels too realism for me and not escapism enough.
Not enough escapism.
I mean, I feel
Interesting.
like the biggest offender for this is, of course, Cataclysm, Dark Days Ahead, which
Yeah.
is a very poorly rated game from this podcast
Which again is
perspective.
another super popular one. Like, people
Yeah.
love that game, and I feel, and I can understand why. And I feel like if Cataclysm had like the more friendly, approachable UI and interface that this game does, I probably, like me personally, I'd probably like it a lot more. But there were some things
Yeah.
about Cataclysm I kind of liked better than this game. But yeah.
That I think is a good answer, Scott, and I agree with you to some extent. I also have an answer for this question, why I don't like this specific type of zombie survival game as opposed to a survival horror game. Like that's a totally different gameplay, totally different situation. I am also fond of the Resident Evil series, but other than, you know, story and general theme, not very similar to the game that we're covering this week. So I don't know if I've fully returned to embrace the zombie genre, at least not this type of like modern day zombie apocalypse. I used to be very into this stuff. I bought the zombie survival guide very early. I actually got it from the library, I should say, excuse me. And in tw the t early 2010s, it might have actually been 2010, I went to ZombieCon in Seattle, which for a first event, it was actually only, it was the first of two. They never did more than two. This was stacked. I mean, we got George Romero. Ever heard of him? The
That's the guy that did the
grandfather.
Thriller dance, right?
Absolutely not. Of modern, or I guess the 20th century, really the start of American zombie films, right, as a genre. Bruce Campbell was there. Malcolm McDowell was there for some reason, because he had been in some horror films, I guess. No, I think it was because he was friends with George Romero, is my recollection. And wow, that was a hoot. I showed up dressed up in my zombie survival gear, complete with a bandana made from a tie. But anyway,
Why not a bandana made from a bandana? Is that not
because
well?
I was wearing like my Geek Squad like button up shirt, and so kind
Oh,
of the
I
idea
see, I
was like,
see. He
oh,
had to build
I had to
it,
improvise,
as
I
in
was
a traditional
crafting.
zombie survival game, he had to build it from the things he had on hand.
So true. And despite having fun collecting those real world items to craft my office worker turned zombie survivor, here's my problem with these types of games. I do not like looting. Boring stuff, at least. Like when I'm just having to loot the normal things that I purchased from the grocery store, it is extremely tough for me to engage with that.
But Andrew, what happens when you come across a well-stocked grocery store full of cans and cans of creamed corn? You're like, oh, finally, I can now survive the zombie hordes, until you realize, much to your dismay, there is nary a can opener to be found. The horror!
Or your legs are too weak. Your small, frail legs are too weak to carry them back to your hole.
Yeah, I think like the improvisation and loot stuff is like a central pillar to Project Zomboid. But I guess maybe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. What do you do in this game? I think this game actually does a tutorial very well here of you jump in and it's like, all right, let's have this cute little cartoon red panda. I think it's a red panda. It's not a raccoon, right? Teach you the ropes, how to survive. And it's you know, charming and cute and funny, where it's like, you know, you spawn into this house. It's like, hey, you gotta, and I think this is kind of emblematic of how basically all of my runs went, which was, you spawn in some kind of house somewhere. You're scrounging around for kitchen supplies to use to mutilate whatever zombie that you first encounter. And then you check to see if that zombie has any better loot for attacking weapons. Maybe, ooh, this they gotta, you know, you use your well-seasoned cast iron pan to leak the brains of the Zed that was in your house. You pick up a butcher knife that's on him. Like, okay, great, I'm progressing. You use the butcher knife to take out another zombie that has, let's say, like a pistol on him. Okay, this is great. Things are going great here. You're doing some Metal Gear sneaking around. You take out some more zombies in the backyard, and you're doing some vaulting. You're doing some sneak attacking, and as you know, the game is eventually like, okay, here's how you manage your inventory. Here's how, you know, you go through like crates and cupboards and things in the house, and, you know, going into the backyard shed to find more stuff. And you finally get a backpack, and you're like, okay, I'm ready to go and take on the zombie apocalypse. And then the game is like, okay, let's see how long you can survive in this tiny little tutorial zone, where each gunshot that you use to take out a zombie alerts more zombies. And maybe you get bit once, and the game's like, don't even worry about it. You're attacked. You're bitten. Open up the health menu. Press this button here to apply the antidote. April Fools, there is no antidote. You're doomed. You got bit. It's too bad. Now you have to suffer a slow death over the course of, I don't know, maybe let's say like 5 in-game minutes or something, of
Actually,
watching your
well,
character
it's
de
like 3 days.
three. Oh, okay. It's even
If you get bit,
worse.
yeah, you get a fever, and it's like a slow degradation. It's no good.
That's why you have to just turn on the option that makes you die instantly.
That's what I've done. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I had one. I didn't initially realize that infection always meant infection with the zombie infection.
That's not true. You can definitely get infected with, like, if you smash a car window with your hand or a window in general, you can get infected, and then
Well, okay. I thought you could only die from being bitten, so I thought that my scratch was not infected with zombie infection.
A scratch has a 7% chance, not that I've memorized all the
Yeah,
probabilities of
so
actually turning
not that
into a
you've
virus.
memorized. I was like, I don't know why my character is so sad. Well, why isn't this infection healing? I go, oh, he's looking real rough.
Yeah, you're getting really hot all of a sudden. Why is your health going down, huh? I
Yeah. So
had that
this
happen to me.
tutorial, we talk a lot about tutorials. We complain a lot about tutorials. I have almost nothing negative to say about this. In
Yeah,
fact,
that's good.
I think this is one of the best tutorials I have experienced. And in part because of that ending that you're describing, Scott, where the game says, psych, there is no antidote. And then just endless waves of zombies show up until you die. That's the end of the tutorials, you getting killed. This tutorial is like its own little self-contained micro game that's like maybe like only 15 minutes long. It's got a full narrative. It's got twists and turns. You've got to deal with some of those central major plot points found in zombie cinema of what do you do when confronted with, oh no, it's your immediate relative that's been transformed into a zombie. Well, the answer is you smash their skull in with that well-seasoned iron. It's about to get more seasoned. And it is also it's fun. Like you get to just without, you know, much worry of serious repercussions, you get to engage with the pretty fun combat of this game, and you get to do some smashing and some stabbing and some blasting, and then at the end you get to die in glorious hand-to-hand combat.
Did you run? I ran away. I got managed to run on the outside. I'm like, what? And the tutorial just never ended, and I had to like eventually just sacrifice myself.
Yeah, I mean it is a very gated in with like tree zone, because I did the same thing. I'm like, well, I'm just gonna run away from the zombies for 20 minutes, see how far I can get. But yeah, I think like this game really underscores what it's about with every time that you start a run, it prompts you with like this very ominous looking text wall of like,
Oh, it's such a good loading screen.
these are the end times. There is no hope for survival. This is how you died.
I thought that was a
Which.
really good intro. Like, for a game that doesn't actually have like designated plot, like that's a great plot hook.
And the music too, while that's playing, that sort of what scale is that? It's the like a minor harmonic scale that she's singing in, and it's got the sort of you know, a Middle Eastern sort of like influence. It's really very fitting with a cello. Go, 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 go. And it just, oh, it feels really
It
good.
is very striking. It stops you dead in your tracks, even if you're, you know, on your computer multitasking, maybe looking at, you know, a podcast or video podcast or something. It pulls in your attention and it sets the tone and the stakes.
But before you even do that, before you see the before you're playing the replay of how your last character in the Louisville metro area died, you got to do something that you got to do in a lot of these games. You got to make your character. And much like Cataclysm: Dark Days Ahead, you have a slew of occupations, you have a slew of character traits and negative character traits as well that you can pick to kind of like either like min max, or if you're just like me, you just pick a carpenter or whoever starts with like a hammer first, and then you just hit the random traits button every time. Will, did you have a specific occupation you gravitated towards?
Absolutely, but I feel like because I'm only have 116 hours, I'm only at like the beginner level of selection. Not like the very beginner, but like the beginner level. Like it's good to go with the burglar, because cars are one of the most effective ways of killing things in the game. And if you're a burglar, you can hotwire a car. And in the sandbox settings, I did like by default, almost all cars come with like no gas. And so it doesn't make any sense. You have an apocalypse and you've got all these people driving around. They're pulling into their parking spot at the grocery store out of gas. They literally run out of gas and they all do that. And so I thought that was insane. So I managed to give my burglar a little bit of a buff by giving some a little bit of gas to the cars. But it's so much, it's a really nice occupation to have. I guess pros do things like the veteran who doesn't get panicked. And I think they're good with guns, which is a definitely a nice thing to have, because it takes forever to level up aiming and reloading unless you have the perks for it, or at least the kind of the plus 100% experience to that stuff.
And you're, of course, able to refill every car in the galaxy with a click of a button using the pretty in-depth and handy difficulty customization options that is shows up right before the character creation. But I'm sure we'll talk more about that later.
But yeah, after you pick your character, then you got to do the other big question of where in the general Knox County, Louisville suburbs area are you going to spawn in?
You know how big that is?
How big? It's, well, from the interactive map that I'm kind of scrolling around through here, this game is fucking enormous.
It's 75 square miles, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest map I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, and much to your point, Will, where it's like you don't necessarily need procedural generation if you have like this much content and you're just like basically not like running into the same situation twice, unless like you really specifically like push yourself into that direction. So like as far as meaningful gameplay impacting randomization goes, certainly ticks that box for sure. But you have options of starting. I think the game doesn't even let you start in downtown Louisville proper, because it's like,
wow, you, it's like, too big for you.
Yeah, it's like suicide mission level. But you have a list of kind of like suburb towns to pick from like Riverside and Follis Lake or Rosewood. Very, very nice sounding suburbs, just filled with shambling brain dead monsters that are just going to eat the tongue out of your mouth. I wound up starting most of my play areas in West Point, because I thought like, oh, that's going to have like a big military base and stuff. And am I remembering right? It gives you kind of like a preview of like, here's this kind of stuff that you are expecting to find there. It's like a general map layout.
Yeah, it gives you a little description. And West Point is, I think, the biggest town outside of the Louisville proper.
Yeah.
Now I want to go to Louisville.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you have to go through a military checkpoint to get there. So they have like this big kind of a big challenge if you want to get into the main area. And that's what I got. You know, that's what I'm trying to do next, is get into the main area. But you have to like amass enough ammo, which means you have to suck out resources for I'm getting ahead of myself here. Scott, you were saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you pick what suburb you want to start in. And I believe, no matter what starting location that you start in, you always start in a house. Is that right?
You could start in a hotel too. Or
okay.
Yeah. So it's just like you're starting in some building.
Yeah. And like every zombie survival apocalypse scenario, you've woken up 3 days after the zombie apocalypse has happened. You're just like, huh? What's all this zombie stuff going on? I just woke. Where am I? And all of your neighbors are more brain dead than they usually are. They're more flesh eating than typical than usual. And yeah, the second you leave your house, like your whole neighborhood is just kind of like walking around, clamoring for brains. And now it's like that tutorial put into action of like, okay, what around your house do you have to survive? What can you loot from your neighbor's house if the loud ass car alarm that they've rigged their house with doesn't go off when you break their windows to see what kitchen knives you can steal? Yeah, and it kind of sets you off on it's a very open-ended sandbox of like make your own goal, but I think there's maybe two ways to kind of score your run in this, and that's like for how long you've survived and how many zombies you've killed. And maybe there's some like extra kind of bonus objectives, but those are the things displayed when your run will inevitably end because there is no victory condition in this game. You can't escape the town, you can't climb a loud helicopter that's following you to safety. You can't like procure some sort of zombie antidote. It is literally just how long can you survive and how many of your neighbors can you gun down in the process? The American dream, really, if you think about it.
And the lack of an objective is maybe the one thing that I prefer in Cataclysm Dark Days Ahead. Throughout this game, I realized at many points that like, oh, this is a make your own fun kind of game, like, which I can respect for people who have the time and patience to do that. But most of the time when I go to play a video game, the big selling point is that it is automated. It has created a goal and a fun mechanism for me. And I don't necessarily need to be creative. I can save that for some other time. So, you know, in what, 13 years of development, I'm kind of surprised they haven't added more scenarios. There are scenarios, but there's not a get to the evacuation point one, which feels like a no-brainer, no pun intended.
Why not just survival in general as a strategy? Survive 1 month as a first goal. Survive 2 months. And once you get into 2 months, you'll find that all the perishable foods, they're gone. And so you can either eat really fattening food and become obese because of, for all the non-perish, or you can learn to farm. And so there's kind of natural. There's a natural progression of things that you'll want to learn as you're going along. And eventually you'll have a car. It's really great. It'll break down. It'll have some problem. You'll smash into too many zombies. Maybe you want to repair it. And so like there's a natural sort of like, oh, how do I repair? Oh, I need to have this sort of knowledge and I need to do these sort of things. And so it feels to me like, or hey, you realize you need the mechanics magazine that teaches you how to do it. There's a bookstore in town or there's a gas station over there. Maybe I'll try and raid them. And so all these mini quests all ladder up until, I mean, I think I shared my that one part of my notepad of like the looks like about 50 different like done tasks that I'm just like
Right,
always
your own
writing out.
list of
This is what I'm trying to do next. This
objectives.
is like my priority order. I have like 10 things right now. I want to cut all the overgrown grass in my property and the driveway, get my welding up to 3 so I can fix my hood, get more nails for my tall fence around the property. Like these are all the objectives that come out of the natural goal of
I
survival.
made a similar objective list, but for a different game. Spawn into the deserty urban scape. All right, open the buy menu. All right, select a rifle. Now proceed to bomb site B. I respect you doing that, and I totally understand how a reasonable a reasonable, capable, intelligent human being could derive a lot of fun and excitement from that. It's just for my type, the type of gamer I am, this isn't the first type of genre that I look for when picking
And
a
I
game. It's
think
very much a personal preference thing, I
there's
guess.
maybe like a middle ground here as well, where like on one end of the spectrum, you have like the game is so simulationist, it just becomes like a life slash yard work simulator. And then on the other end of the spectrum, where it's just so like arcadey nonsense that like there's no kind of like thought put into it. And I feel like There's maybe somewhere in between here where, like, so I guess for the listener's benefit, like, we only so far have played all this just single player, and multiplayer was only something that was really added somewhat recently.
Oh yeah,
and
we
was that
should
the
play
beta
multiplayer.
42 or the build 42 update in December of 2025?
For build 42 they added multiplayer, but they also had had it working for build 41.
And so I think that's where, like, I can kind of sympathize with Andrew's argument of, like cutting the long grass doesn't sound like an appealing objective to me either. But if you had, like, a multiplayer scenario where it's like you and, like, nine of your best buds are like, okay, like, our objective is to see if we can beat our high score of surviving 1 month like we did last time. It feels like there's an opportunity to reduce that drudgery and minutia by having people specialize. Like, okay, Colin, your goal is to, like, run across town and try to find fuel for the car so Will can then drive the car to the military checkpoint and re-up all of our ammo so we can survive the night or whatever. Like, that seems...
I mean, it sounds like maybe instead I should just grind my grass cutting skill. Now I can, now since there's nine of us, eight of you can go do fun things, and I can do eight times more grass cutting.
Yeah,
I can optimize.
Yeah. That's how we rebuild civilization, is we specialize, we get someone who is an expert at lawn care, and that's how we're going to live side by side with the immortal zombie hordes that will eventually drain our ammo resources and pour over the fence.
Well, actually, you can kill them all. You can literally, there's 75,000 zombies in this area, and you can literally kill every last one of them and have no zombies left.
Is that
and then
by
the
default,
U.S.
or do you
government
have to...
comes back and is just like, wow,
wait,
holy shit.
There's 75,000, you say?
Yeah. Right now,
there's
I've got
75,000 zombies, 75 square miles, 7% chance of getting infected from a scratch. What are these devs playing at? There is some kind of a conspiracy afoot. So this, again, this is a totally valid way to have fun and a successful way to have fun. This game has a ton of reviews. But, you know, part of this podcast is kind of our initial impressions. And that was that left a really big impression when I realized, oh, by default, it's just the sandbox. And it's like, well, I don't even know how to play this game yet. And you're telling me to just jump into the sandbox and be creative? What? No, I can't possibly do that. And that's why, for me, honestly, the tutorial was like my favorite part of the game. It was like story driven and it highlighted and brought to light, said, hey, look at this gameplay feature. Now engage with that. Hey, look at this gameplay feature. All right, have fun. And then here's like a very sort of simple but efficient and effective little narrative to go along with it. Yeah, and I played this game like back when it was brand new, super briefly, and I recorded like a little Let's Play video with one of my good pals, and I went and found that video and was watching it again, and the gameplay looks remarkably similar. And I guess I was hoping for there to be a little more. Actually, you know what? Look. It's plenty advanced. They've added a lot to it. But I just, again, I was hoping there would be some kind of a narrative, which there isn't, which again is fine. And there are some scenarios that you can choose to engage with. That's why I played the cabin defense mode a fair bit. Again,
oh, yeah, so
make
I didn't
your
play
own
any
fun.
Of the I didn't play any of the scenarios. How do those work? Is it the same map or is it like its own contained adventure?
Well, the one that I started on, because I there's a scenario that says CDDA, and I'm like, oh, well, we did Cataclysm Dark Days Ahead as a previous episode. Let me click that as my first introduction to this game outside the tutorial. And you start and your house is on fire. And I'm like, we're off to a great start. I'm panically running around trying to find something. And then I just like turn around a corner, open a door, zombie right there bites me, and I'm already infected. I'm like, okay.
Indeed, this is a delightful.
You got what was coming to you.
Yep,
a delightfully intricate goof, a goof and gaff on the at the expense of Cataclysm: Dark Days Ahead, where you've got you know, there's these different scenarios where it's like survive the winter or defend the cabin, and then the Cataclysm: Dark Days Ahead scenario is you start like on the floor of your bathroom, having presumably like slipped in the shower and knocked yourself unconscious. You have a cold, you're sick, Your house is on fire. Oh, and also the zombie apocalypse.
Wait, no, there's also glass in your groin. You start
there's
with glass.
What?
You have to take, yeah, you have to pull the glass out of your groin to start the game.
What the
So I
fuck
would
is supposed,
be.
What is supposed to have happened to this poor man?
Mondays, am I right?
That's what it feels like to play Cataclysm, Dark Days Ahead. I'd be curious to know what the whole backstory is behind this this inside genre joke.
No idea. Yeah. I'm guessing they have a scenario in CDDA like this, but and this is just a sort of paying homage
Sure.
To that.
Sure, sure. And speaking of CDDA, let's put heap some praise on this game. Wow, it looks so much better. It plays so much
wow,
more
way better.
Smoothly.
Way
the
smoother.
Interface is a dream
creamy.
Compared to Cataclysm Dark Days Ahead. There's
it's isometric. There's multiple dimensions.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. When I played it back 13 years ago, all of the character models were two-dimensional, but they have implemented these 3D models, which I think look very good and blend into the two-dimensional world very nicely. I assume that they switched to 3D models just because it was, you know, quicker to do the animations and everything.
And it's impressive, like, how well the game's, like, graphics and, like, processing scale. Like, you would think that, like, if you have 1,000 zombies on screen, it would just, like, tank the frame rate and the game would just crash or something. But it for me, I mean, at least it ran decently well. And, like, I was actually kind of impressed playing. I think I played, like, 4 or 5 hours on the Steam Deck, and it seemed like it was just humming along just fine. And I'm like, for a game that I was expecting to be super menu-heavy, and like mouse and keyboard first class, which is fine, like there was actually some effort put into like joypad controls, which was nice. I still think mouse and keyboard's better, but I could see if, like, maybe in another 13 years if they add joypad support, it would be pretty good, and then maybe a Nintendo Switch release. But but yeah, I think, like, for like how long this game's been in early access, like, they it seems like they're kind of ending, or like coming around the final bend of stuff that they're adding, because they're in the process of adding, like, NPC AI at the moment. And I don't know, like, how, what the cadence of their release schedule is, but it seems like if we're at release build 42 right now, it's like, in theory, build 48, from what I'm looking at the roadmap menu here, like, build 48 is when, like, all the NPC stuff will be done. So in theory, like, there might be more things to interact with and more, like, kind of, like, Cataclysm style, like, quests to do, outside of just, like, a farming simulator. And, you know, like, that seems like they're headed towards some kind of completion goal, and it won't be just like a shambling early access zombie for the end of time. But but there's certainly some more stuff that they're planning on adding.
And despite being in early access, it feels, as someone who hasn't played the game in 13 years, like very, very polished.
Sure.
Again, I was just surprised that there wasn't, like, a core scenario, which you'd be welcome to ignore, of course, and just go about your merry way and do your own thing. Maybe I don't want to go to the FEMA checkpoint.
yeah, I mean,
I do want to,
like, they could just be like, for the first game, we recommend you start in this town and attempt to get to the bridge out north of Louisville. Like,
no,
just drop you in. You don't have to do
attack.
That.
When you start the game, all you should be doing is forgetting all the survival aspects and fighting things with your bare hands if you need to, because learning the timing of, like, when you can push guys, when you can stomp their skulls, how to, like, aim so that you're not, like, attacking right next to them and then they bite your neck, because that happened to me so many fucking times. Oh my god, there's just one. Oh well, I could, there's always a one time for everything, but, like, I see a zombie, I know he's there, I come around the corner, my bat's up, I know exactly where he is, he comes to the right and I just swing at where he was and he comes in and, and that was a 40-hour game. That's how I lost a 40-hour game, was just,
oh,
I,
man,
and I knew where he was. It was just the stupidest fucking bullshit. I Oh my
that's
God.
That's brutal. Hey, we should talk about the combat. How do we? What do we think of it? It's hard.
It's mid.
Yeah,
mid. It's hard.
As you say, Will, as a new player, that's what you should be focusing on: learning to fight.
I feel like if the crafting systems, and forgive me, Will, if this is actually in there and I just haven't spent enough time with it to encounter it, but, like, if the crafting system allowed me to build stuff like out of the World War Z book of just like long pole with a scythe at the end of it that I could just cut their heads off from a long distance, like if I could get like some Dark Souls looking weapons built in here and just like bam, like spear from like a long distance away and like, you know, doing like dodge roll, like scythe attacks and stuff, like that would be pretty sweet. I didn't find like the melee to be like suit. It felt like combat was a way to get out of a situation, not necessarily to win a fight.
No, I mean, like, it's absolutely like the way it works. Once you get to a competency with fighting the hordes, if you see three together, you just mow them down. You don't even think about it. If you see 10, you're like, okay, I'll have to take a second, kind of dodge back a bit. 20 is about the maximum you can do before you run out of like exhaustion. And so if you're seeing 50 or 100, then you get the guns out, you get the cars out, you start run, you back in
50 or
time because.
100. I feel like I've only seen like five.
50
Oh,
or
really?
100, folks. If
Dude,
you
did you not see
thought.
that video I posted into like just yesterday? Like with me, like murder. I think I killed about 600 in the main town of this one tournament. And I'm just going around with a shotgun or a pistol, and I'm just like, because I just raided the police station, so I'm like, I'm flush with ammo, and I'm just like, all right, this city's got it coming. And I went out blasting my shotgun once, just started spinning around, just fucking mowing them down. It's that to me is if you want to have like a break from the survival crafting and get into like some just straight killing, that's a fun thing to do.
But what did you
That's
do in
actually
the
should be a goal right now for everyone out there is like raid a police station, kill everyone in town. That's fun.
But Will, what do you do in the game?
Heyo. See, now what you've described sounds like a very like a wonderful, gratifying gaming experience. So I can definitely get behind that. Sounds like a hoot and a half, dare I say it. 600, my goodness. Now, real quick, I want to point out. Will
I
is
will say.
describing hordes, 50 to 100 zombies. If you thought a game called Project Zomboid, not sure what a zomboid is, but a zombie game isn't going to bring the hordes of shambling undead, think again. This is one of those games that delivers on the promise of what it is selling. There's no snake oil here. This is the genuine zombie apocalypse experience.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about the stealth system? I'm curious what people's like experience was with like stealthily sneaking around away from zombies was. Because it felt like for me they had some sort of like fucking Soliton radar bullshit of like being able to see me through glass across the street with their like their zombie eyes are rotted, they're falling out of their skull, but they're still somehow like 20/20 vision enough to like laser in on me up on like the second floor of this house.
Well,
Now it.
at 5 hours into the game, I felt the same way. But eventually you'll learn the nuance. And that's the thing. This whole game, a lot of the fun is like learning from mistakes. That is pretty much that's like where 90% of the fun is. And in this case here, I just have a mob following me and I would just keep walking away and you're slightly faster, but I could never lose them. I never understood like what are you supposed to do here? You just have to know like if there's a building. You just kind of like, and you have a horde behind you. You sprint up to the edge of the building, and then you kind of just walk around it, and then you walk away, and then like that completely stops them. If they're seeing you from far away, what that means is you have to learn how to close the curtains. You need to turn off the lights, and you need to crouch walk everywhere. As soon as you do that, they'll have no way of sensing you in that building. And so a lot of it, every time that I've had someone like on the outside see me, it's because the window's been open and I've just been like clomping around, just like, oh yeah, let me get my frying pan. I got all this cooking going on. Oh my God, who's at the front door? Well, you better know that's going to be a zombie at the front door.
John Zombie.
It's almost always going to be a zombie at the front door. Yeah,
Wait,
Scott, I.
are there non-zombie NPCs right now, or is that only something that's going to happen?
It's going to happen. I think that the multiplayer is how they're kind of relying on that
Well,
experience right now. And I'm excited for that. I haven't
I'm
even
about
done
to
that yet.
gonna blow your minds, fellas. 13 years ago, I just reviewed the footage. There were human NPCs.
What?
Yes, indeed. And
They
in
got
fact,
turned into zombies?
my buddy Jeff, during this 13-year-old YouTube gameplay video, tells me a story about how he was held up in this house, had it locked down, or at least he thought locked down, and he woke up to find just standing in his bedroom. just a random guy, some random human NPC had gotten inside. And well, of course, you know, he panicked and he shot that man's face off. Turns out he was not a zombie, but just a friendly guy. But yeah, in this gameplay footage, like we recruit some like random dude. So I'm curious when they pulled that out and decided to rework it for, I guess, a decade.
I'm guessing it's like 7 Days to Die, where like NPCs and having like you know, roving bandits as an idea is a much harder thing to implement than just to have like a static like sort of like merchant. And so if you have to get the AI in there, if you have to make them well balanced, it I believe it just throws things off, especially because they have to interact with zombies. And like, sure. What's their relationship going to be? Are they going to just be overwhelmed right away? If they're not overwhelmed, like, how are they able to? So they have to have like a super advanced AI. At least that's how I'm imagining it. And that's why I would pull it if I didn't know that it was actually providing value without a lot of investment.
Especially if you're
providing
trying to, like...
value investment. What is this guy talking like? He's some kind of game developer. Capitalist.
I got my monocle on over here.
And because he is spoiler. So
wait, no, me. Capitalist?
No.
Capitalist. Pig.
I mean, I'm forced to be in this system, but this is not a political podcast.
Yes. Right. Of course. So, yeah. No, I understand. It's a big. Sure. I imagine that they want to get it right, and it's a bit of a challenge to implement. For
it's only 70 kilometers of surface area. You got to simulate at all times. What could go wrong?
But to answer your question, Scott, the combat, the new player experience for stealth is that, hey, this is hard.
Yeah, and I felt like, I don't know if this game would be better if it had some sort of Skyrim style, like little eye that like would tell you, like, if you are being if you are visible to the zombies at any point.
I think it'd be much worse.
True, and I wonder if, like, because there's, like, weather events that come through the game where, like, ooh, there's, like, a dense fog coming through, and I don't know if, like, if that makes the stealth easier or if, like, you can get creative with some of the sandbox elements and, like, let's say you have, like, a radio on you and you turn it up to max volume and you, like, huck it across the block.
Yes,
and
you can do that.
Okay, that stuff makes sense in terms of like being able to be creative with the sandbox environment.
Firecrackers too.
I can see that. But yeah, I imagine that NPC additions would certainly add some more stuff in here. Will, did you ever encounter the helicopter event?
Absolutely, every single run.
What are your thoughts on helicopters?
I've never had any trouble with it, to be honest. I don't know. Like, whenever I hear I think the helicopter event is like, I'll be on days like 7 to 10, or like, it's like after about a week or so, there'll be a helicopter and all the zombies in the area are drawn underneath it. And for some reason, the helicopter wants to hang out right above wherever you are. But I don't know. I'm just like upstairs in my 2-story house. I've got all my doors barricaded and I just kind of like waited out. And I've never had a problem with that. I guess I could have tried to be more adventurous and like gone out and fucked with them or like tried to run. But like, why would I want to do that? That sounds like risk. You want to this is a game where minimizing risk is the goal, because eventually over the long run, any form of small amount of risk will lead to your death.
Well, you got to just go big risk. Big risk, go big, go
home.
I
mean, you've seen those videos of like, I take some risks and I get really lucky with this really long life I've had so far.
We are here to you know, listen, to gather around and hear Will, the expert, talk about this game, and Colin just instantly like, nah, take all the risks.
That's true.
For sure.
I mean, I think you should early on, definitely, like, you gotta, while you're learning the mechanics. And I say that as someone who probably is still in that phase, but thinks he's not. And so that's why I have these things. I got scratched today when there was just 2 zombies in front of me. I'm going up my baseball bat with the nails in it. And I'm just like, okay, come on. Are you kidding me? And I take a swing at one of them. And somehow I miss. I think he like did an underhanded swing, and like, you have to be extremely accurate with your angle. And then he just got in there. I got a big laceration. That's a 25% chance of being zombified, and I got lucky again, and so I didn't die right away, but no, even now I still, in very simple scenarios, am getting hurt when I shouldn't be, and I should have died probably about 10 times so far this life.
What are sort of like the elements of a winning run? Like how would you determine that you've won a run in this game, so to speak?
Well, I mean, I think the ultimate goal is to like be in the densest populated area of zombies with all the best things and to be secure against all of it. I think
So like
that's so like
reclaiming civilization to
it's
some
yeah,
degree.
something like exactly, something like that, where you're able to create a barrier and have all the self, you know, all the resources you need and also be self-sufficient so you don't have to go out and to have any basically if you were taking your risk and you're basically making it zero. That's the goal, is to take this 100% risk down to zero. And if you go to zero, obviously the game becomes unfun, but that's sort of the goal, is to make the game unfun, I think. And you always die on the way to do it because it's just so hard to make the game unfun, at least in my view.
So is there a way to accomplish that without the game turning into a zombie-themed Stardew Valley simulator?
No.
Now, what
That
if?
I mean, like, or you can eat a lot of bad food. I mean, like, you could do a lot of like rushing through, not doing any farming, not doing any animal husbandry, not doing any of that stuff, and just like rush right away, get all the guns, try and level up your shooting, bust through like the hardest part of town, and like you won't be able to build walls, of course, because you don't have any carpentry. But like you can have that kind of life, but it feels like you have to put levels into specific things like carpentry or the or welding for some metal fences, and so you kind of have to do some of that stuff. And if you don't want to eat like the worst possible food, you kind of have to learn some of the agriculture or animal husbandry. So to answer your question, no, this game is a Stardew Valley wrapped inside a zombie game. And so if you don't like Stardew Valley, well, that's great, because this game lets you choose, hey, do I want to wake up today and water my plants, or do I want to go out and kill some zombies? And
Choose
so it kind of lets
violence.
you, yeah, you can choose violence. Your mood when you wake up in the morning determines exactly what you'll be doing for that day.
And by mood, you mean like the human playing the game mood versus
Yes.
like your actual player character's mood.
Yeah, I mean, like today, I could have like I have 400 nails now, and I'm like, okay, that's a good number of nails, maybe. Not actually, not that much. I can like continue building the wall around my lodge in the woods on the lake, and it's just this beautiful location. I make that because that's a long-term goal. Or I could get in my car, and I've wanted a trailer for a long time. It has 100 weight that it can store. I'm gonna go out and just drive around for a bit, and then as I'm driving around, I find this random thing going on. Like there were, hey, look, there's a building under construction. What's inside this thing? And then what's over here? Oh my God, there's thousands of planks in here. Not thousands, but there's a lot of planks in here. And I don't know. It's kind of
Plank
like
City.
it's a very like, oh wow, look at that. And it's every turn you're taking is like this new sort of a surprise. It's a surprise around every corner.
Why can't we have the mission objective escape to Plank City? That's all I'm asking for. All right, so we're talking about what a winning run is and how sort of reclaiming civilization or building your own like sustainable outpost is important. What if this game had flags like in Terminus?
I think
If anyone
flags,
remembers
well, can you
that.
remind me of the flag mechanic? I don't remember a flag mechanic. I remember you tried to get to the terminal or
My
terminal.
recollection is that you can forego escaping and getting like to the terminal and instead try to like reclaim the city and each
Did
sector.
you do that, Will?
You clear it of zombies, and then you craft a flag, and you plant the
I
flag
did do
in the
that.
ground, and that means,
Yeah.
ha-ha, you've officially
It was like a
reclaimed that
territory
zone.
control system almost, right?
I was way more into the speed running, I think, than I was into like that long grind for some reason.
And yet you still did the long grind.
I don't remember. I'm not sure if I beat that, if that was a big mission objective. I don't
We'll have
remember
to
if that
look at
was
the tapes, but pretty sure we did.
You definitely reclaimed a good chunk of territory from what I recall. I was thinking about Terminus, which is another zombie survival game that we covered on the show. And despite the combat in this game being pretty dang hard and unforgiving, I like it better than the Terminus combat, which was sort of a turn-based, location-based targeting system.
Yeah, probability based, like, oh, you have a 20%, 30% chance to hit.
Right. And that just kind of comes down to, you know, real time versus turn based, and both can be very good. But I think in this case, the real time and the way that it is done, I far prefer it. And the fact that I actually had to like click on the zombie's head when they're on the ground to squash it, I really appreciated.
And that sound when their head finally blows up is a very satisfying, crushing noise, right?
Yeah, totally. And that's, you know, those are the sorts of touches that I would expect from like a twitchy shooter type game. But for it to be present in a survival game, I was really delighted and impressed to see.
So what, I guess, like, how, like, Will, you said you had a similarly like touch and go experience when you were first playing it. What was like the moment that like was like that breakthrough of like, whoa, okay, I can definitely get sucked into this now? Was it just like seeing how the systems unfolded and just investing more time with it? Or
I think I was in the first little, like, where did I spawn in? Rosewood, I think. And I was a new player. I just spawned in with nothing, and I'm like looking around the city, and there's a just this there's 20 zombies coming at me. I'm running away. Suddenly I find a car. I didn't have the burglar trait at the time, but I just got super lucky. There was keys in the ignition, and I'm like, oh yeah, here we go. My vengeance is at hand. And then I turn the car on and I just kill all of them, and I'm just like, that was a huge threat, and I just neutralized it because of like this completely random set of circumstances. And that was just like, okay, now I know cars are like the sudden learning that cars can kill like up to 50 zombies, or, you know, even beyond that. And then like being able, like, okay, think about, all right, now that I know that, how do I base the rest of my runs? And like, it was just like this sudden learning and destructive capability that you can, it's like kind of like going into a game, like you're a mage, and then you suddenly like, you're like try and cast a spell, and suddenly lightning bolt comes out. You're like, oh, what's this power I have now? And it felt
hit
really,
fifth level and you learn fireball.
Yeah, no, it felt like I got a fireball early on, and that is what it felt like.
Was there something that surprised you about how the game operated that you didn't expect? Because, I mean, you've played a lot of zombie survival games. Like, you know how this genre works. And, like, so you were jumping into this, like, okay, familiar territory. But was there something that was like, whoa, this is, like, so unique to Project Zomboid that, like, no one else has done it, and that, like, this game stands out significantly because of it?
Yeah, when a zombie comes at you in close proximity, like from the dark, you get that sound of like that little like the actual music times with it to give you
what's
the term I'm looking for?
It's like a jump scare sound.
Jump scare, exactly. Kind of. Like, it has like a violent
sting,
and it's just like, oh my god, and it really freaks you out. And I thought,
startled,
like,
the
I've
shit
never,
out of me.
Yeah, I've never seen that before, where it actually times that specific scenario with like the sound of the game. But I really love that integration. It made it feel very much more intense.
I was sleeping down in a basement. I cleared the thing, but I guess I hadn't, like, I guess the door was still broken open. I left this door room that I had closed, and there was like a zombie lady just out there. Boy, wasn't expecting that. The full-on jump scare. Very good.
Yeah, no, I like that. I mean, I don't usually, but it just fits really well here. And I think they did it really well with programming the if a zombie in this territory and your like field of view has not seen them, and then suddenly you see them when they're within 2 meters, then make this sound. And so I think that's, or something like that. That's a very good way of doing it.
And how does your player character like stop being horrified at seeing zombies? Because you'll get like these little status icons.
Oh, the Moodles
show up on the.
You gain like thicker skin over time.
Well, yeah, actually, that's a real element. Is like after about a month or two, like you're not as freaked out by zombies, just by nature of just being seeing them so much. But also, there are beta blockers, so there's a lot of medications you can pick up in the game. And so if you have a fanny pack, you want to keep them loaded with your antibiotics, your beta blockers, your caffeine, your painkillers, all that good stuff. And so eventually you can medicate pretty much everything.
Just like in real life. Yeah, I think that like how the game evolves over like a long period of time is also interesting, because like you'll come across like radios or like TVs and stuff that you can kind of see how like the Louisville area county has been like quarantined off, but you can still like kind of see how the outside world is reacting to your situation of like, oh, there's still people walking around and they're outside and stuff, and you're just like, yes, but it's a zombie apocalypse, people. And there's still like country music stations playing, but like they'll have like little text that pops up on the screen of like what the people are saying. They're like, you know, I think there's something, you know, going up, you know, the elites don't want you to know about what's going on in Louisville. And then over time, it seems like the zombie or like whatever virus that the Knox event that has befallen Louisville escapes containment. And like you're listening on the radio or watching the TV of like seeing the apocalypse like spread to other places. And then eventually, like those annoying helicopters stop coming and
The power goes out,
the
and then the
power
water
goes
turns
out.
off.
Yeah. And then it's like, you have become naked and afraid, returned to monkey Bronze Age mode of like, well, like I guess now I just have to survive until the end of time with like, you know, you have 20th century technology at your disposal, but at the same time, it's like, well, animal husbandry and sowing seeds, it is again.
Which I do appreciate what the game lacks in like an overt, obvious, big flashing message. Here is your objective. Get to the evacuation
The
point.
terminal.
It makes up for in that sort of survival apocalypse timeline progression. So there is a certain plot in how events and conditions unfold.
Yeah, the electricity goes out, the water goes out, all the food spoils. You're given a little bit of a ramp towards, like, it starts off easier because the perks of civilization still exist.
Well, there's a scenario too where you can actually start like a week before these events, and so instead of starting 3 days after, you start a week before, and so it's normal society. And you're like, your goal, knowing this is about to happen, is like, how do you steal things without getting caught by the law?
Wait, is
And then,
that
like,
real?
as things,
That's
you're
a
like a
real
time traveler.
scenario in this game.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's one of the defaults, and I've watched a lot of YouTube things on this now, and so I just remember
Is it
thinking
like a
that was like
mod?
a, it's possibly a mod, it's possibly a vanilla scenario. I'm not really sure, but. It seemed like a really interesting way of experiencing it because, yeah, then you're seeing in real time people are actually being converted to zombies, and you have to like try and do, like steal things, but
Oh,
police will
cool.
catch you, and you can become a criminal before the end and like get shot, and so it's balancing like,
I can become a
well, how much
criminal
can I
and get
steal?
shot? Wow, what a game. No, yeah, that's super cool though. No, seriously. And it also allows you to do sort of like, prepper mode. Like you can kind of do the prepper simulation. Neat.
Get your 55-gallon drum
I
of
think it's some
purified
I'm
water. You
pretty
know
sure it's
what?
a
I actually
mod.
have a 55-gallon drum in my closet right now. That's how much
I
grenade
know
I
that
brought.
the build that like we're all running doesn't have all the scenarios because they're kind of fine-tuning it for this particular build, so. Or maybe it's a mod, in which case, get that mod in the
Yeah,
game
it might be a mod.
official.
I can't recall. It was Ambiguous Amphibian. That was the YouTube
I think it's
YouTuber.
called, it sounds like it's called Week One.
And it is
Week
a
One?
mod, right?
And it is a mod.
Okay, so it's a mod.
Okay. Is there like a short list of like these are the top mods to install, or is it kind of like your mileage may vary?
I'm only vanilla so far. I feel like at 116 hours, I'm still like completely satisfied with vanilla, and so I know eventually I will. And so that I haven't even got to that like point where I'm looking at mods yet. So that makes me think this is going to be a 500, 600, 7, 1,000 hour game potentially by the time I get done with it.
So not specifically a mod, but something that I played around with was the custom difficulty settings and just setting up a super favorable, super cheesy game state where like my XP gain is like multiplied by 1,000 and just sort of running and gunning and having more of an arcade experience. And yeah, I appreciate that that's in the game. And you're allowed to make your own fun and fine-tune your experience. Unfortunately, my first couple of goes with that, I'm like, well, obviously, I want to have more zombies to kill, so I set zombie population to like insane, and don't do that.
How did you die?
Don't do it.
What was the circumstance of your death?
The circumstance of my death was getting slowed down by the forest. And there being a shitload of zombies in the forest.
Actually, you know what? The word slow down just reminded me of my biggest complaint right now of this game is vehicles and how their power works. In reverse, you have the most torque possible. It's insane. But if you go forward and you try
Torque, that sounds like a good name for a game mechanic, a mechanical term that you might put into a card game. So going backwards, you have the most torque. That doesn't sound realistic.
No, it does, not at all. And then if you go forward, you get a lot. Like, I think it feels like about half, maybe 60, 70% as much torque. But if you turn while you're going forward, then it gets cut down by another, like, I want to say 20, 30, 40%. And if you're like in a bush and you're turning, then you basically go to zero, depending on like what sort of vehicle you have. You can actually get down to like where you are moving at a, like just the most minuscule like sort of way with just a normal vehicle without being like surrounded by zombies. So as soon as you are like have a zombie in your view, if you're not on pavement, that is a death sentence because you just do not have the torque to run through these guys. If you hit one, they can get caught under your tires. And so you'll be like not spinning out, but just unable to back up, and they're gonna smash through your driver's side window. And it's just like learning that lesson is something that I think everyone has to do because
I mean,
how
that
do
sounds.
cars work? It's just like they work poorly. You want to back into the guys. You want to do like one, two, maybe three per hit, but you cannot smash into a group of 20 and hope to live. That is never gonna work out.
This is what Ralph Nader was talking about. No, the fact that it's even, you know, a viable, you know, strategy at all is neat. But I mean, it makes sense that it's not like super OP.
I mean, kind of. Once you learn the mechanic and you're a burglar and like you one car stops because you break the engine and you jump out and there's another car and you jump into it, you're like, the rampage continues.
It's fun. Very viable, rather. Excuse me. But you need to be willing to be swapping cars.
I'm just looking through some of the Steam Workshop mods for Project Zomboid and just filtering it to the vehicles tab here. There are 2,233 mods for just vehicles.
Mods.
So, just mods, where I feel like this feels like a classic case of like, if you can think of something in this game that you wish was in there, there's probably a mod for it at this point.
Can you make all cars red Corvettes?
Well, here we have an armored personnel carrier. We got a Mini Cooper. We got RVs. I mean, you got to have your survival apocalypse, your apocalypse survival RV.
Can I get a BTR or a BMP?
I mean,
a main battle tank, even
a Resident Evil themed car seems pretty close. You get some rusty trailers.
I just need some 30mm automatic fire with at least 500 rounds.
Well, there's not. I'm not. Well, on the first page of it, I'm not seeing any specific military vehicles. But Andrew, you might be interested to know that there is.
There's an M4 Sherman tank.
Hey, there you go.
Oh yeah,
there's Tiger.
There's another 3,000 hours of content right there. You can just get into the Sherman tank and just mow down hundreds of zombies. There's a mod to bring in the Half-Life soldiers, the HECU guys. Into yeah. into Cataclysm.
Perfect.
So you can get Shepard in there to hunt for Gordon Freeman. Yeah, I mean overall, like how many where was it? Yeah, there's 45,000 like, mods for this game on
wow,
the Steam Workshop.
That's many, so. many mods, folks. And I'm sure there are some that add those objectives that I'm looking for. Or something similar. Probably.
Or something similar, yeah. Are there any other last things that we want to talk about before heading into slapping some 45,000 numbers on here for our initial, I guess we'll caveat this again to say our initial first impressions of this because our scheduling is a little wonky this week. Topics maybe?
There is in fact a mod that lets you add a Corvette.
Oh, of course. I was worried.
Once a status of wealth or once a symbol of wealth and status, this marvel of the old world engineering nest it's abandoned among ruined streets. The powerful engine still capable of screaming down the highway tempts any survivor looking for speed at the expense of safety.
Wow, who wrote this? A madman of Madison Avenue? Wow, I feel like I need to run out and buy one of those vehicles right now. Very, very cool. So unfortunately, I'm too much of a dope to figure out how to build a character to... well, obviously, I need to be a burglar. I wasn't able to drive any of these cars. Are they 3D models?
Yeah.
Or they are. Okay. Very good. I assumed so. Good to know.
Ooh, horse mod.
That, well, okay. Importantly, is that where you play as a horse or where you just ride a horse around?
It does appear that you find them and you ranch them, and you are not a horse. You
That's
can also
clever.
jump over fences, though.
There's probably a mod for you playing as a BoJack-style horseman.
Yes, can I play
Wow.
as an animal?
We got to start modding this game. Come on. All the great ideas we're coming up with. I don't know, Scott,
You
actually, I
can play
watched
as an
that.
anime girl.
Well, of course. I mean, that's the first mod for every game. But like, Scott, I watched that that link that you put out there, which was like the rich versus the poor in the
For the
giant.
100 or the people surviving in the apartment tower.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that there was. I mean, obviously, with this being such a popular game, I didn't realize that. But like, there are a lot of people super into this game. There's a ton of drama around this kind of Squid Game like scenario, and yeah, there's lots of content out there with people just like, all right, there are 100 of you, and the circle is closing in, the classic sort of thing. And yeah, this game is not just zombie survival; it's also just a version of human survival, or like just a dynamic in which humans can express their will to survive or otherwise.
Yeah, I guess what Will's referencing is the video by the YouTuber Harvest Extras called "Can 100 Zomboid Players Survive si or Simulate Civilization in an Apartment?" question mark. And it's a 3-hour long video that I was just randomly clicking around. I'm
I
like,
skipped through that, by the way. There's no way I'm watching 3 hours of that
100%.
crap.
But I was like,
Crap,
wow,
please.
okay,
I'm sure
yeah.
it's riveting content. Come on. But it does demonstrate that this sandbox can be used to great effect for all sorts of scenarios and fun.
There is a mod that lets you play Doom on the computers in the so
So you can
full regular game of Doom. So
looking through the looking glass here,
you
people.
can run Doom on your refrigerator touchscreen, you can run it on a pregnancy test, and yes, of course, because we all wanted to know, yes, you can run it on the computers in Project Zomboid. Good to know.
Incredible. I'm ready
Yeah,
to rate
but
this thing. How about you guys?
well,
Everyone else looks super ready to throw some
that's
preliminary numbers that could change as the year goes on. Let me reiterate this, that when Omega Bowl season comes at the end of the year, that's when we lock the numbers in. But until then, they could float around, they could change a little bit here and there. That's totally fine. It's
I'd
totally
never
fine.
change.
Not Yeah, we gotta etch them in blood on our foreheads here first and foremost. I'll
Yeah,
kick us
blood can be
off.
washed off, though. No, that's
Yeah.
no good.
I mean, I'll give the other co-hosts a time to think here. I'll kick us off. This, I think Project Zomboid is super popular, and I can respect its popularity. It is a super not for me game specifically. I'm just not into open world survival crafting games. Zombie games, I'm a coin flip on if I like them or not. I have a whole mile long list of like things that I don't like about this game, but I feel like overall can be the major criticisms of mine, I feel like, can be summed up that like this feels like the Euro Truck Simulator 2 of zombie games for me, where it's like it's super in depth, it's got a lot of stuff, a lot of people like it, it's well regarded, it's just not for me. And that's I feel like that's it. That's all that I can really say about that. It's for the group of people that like it. I'm glad that they do. I think for me, like, this game was maybe more entertaining for me to like watch other people play than for me to play it. I got a similar vibe with like Cataclysm and watching Rykon roleplay videos of. I'm like, yeah, wow, that does look fun. And I'm glad that someone can extract that level of fun out of it. That just seems like it's too much work for me to extract that fun out. But I think the things that this game does well, graphically, I think this game is very good graphically. For how Simsy it can kind of look when you scroll all the way in, but like when you scroll some pretty good distance out, like it's got a lot of stuff going on. It gives you a good field of view to it. The music is pretty good for this game. I feel like the tribal like Dune like music. I'd much prefer that over whatever country music is playing over the Louisville radios. So I'm glad for that at the very least. It plays pretty well on the Steam Deck. Like I was pleasantly surprised at the level of joypad support that they had in there. There's still some to go, but just the fact that they're even thinking about that is nice. And I feel like I haven't experienced this game yet as a multiplayer game, but I can see how this game would be maybe more fun as a multiplayer game and getting that kind of experience. Like I could totally see us doing something like that later in the year when or the scheduling kind of calms down a little bit. But yeah, like for me, I don't know, like this, it, the genre is not my first pick. Numbers wise, it's a 5.5 for me, putting it just behind Rainbreaker and just ahead of Dungeons of Dreadmoor.
And
as a result, like when I was playing this game, like, I don't know, like is like, I rated Cataclysm really bad when I first played it, and I didn't have a good experience with it at all. And the more other zombie games that I've played, the more that I've kind of come to realize, like, maybe there is something about Cataclysm worth going back to. Maybe we'll revisit it again sometime down the road. So
we
I'm going to
tried
also...
it twice. We did two episodes on it.
Wait, what's your rating
we did
for
two?
Cataclysm?
We did two episodes on it?
Yeah, because we, well, I mean, I can't remember if we actually did two full episodes or we did two. We like attempted to do it 1 week and then had to give up because it was too much work. And we swapped to like some other game we played.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that, well, I forget what game that was. That was pretty early on, I think. And then, yeah. And then we had, it needed more time to bake, but it still didn't help. But I think I'm retroactively changing my 4.2 for Cataclysm to a 5.
You probably shouldn't.
Yeah, no, that's a big mistake because
okay, yeah, you're right.
I'm gonna
leave it as a 4.2 just for spite reasons. But I want to like give Cataclysm more credit because it has an end goal. It has, you know, like,
you should go play it though before you rate it up.
Or should I watch other people play it? And
also
then,
has like kind of
no,
interesting.
You should try to
lore.
Play it because I remember watching it and thinking like, oh, I mean, there's a reason I picked it because I thought it looked interesting. And then playing it and just being like, ugh, I could just go to work and at least I'd be paid money and I wouldn't have to think half as hard.
That's fair. Yeah, I guess like for me, Project Zomboid 5.5. It's just, it's not a good alignment of genre. I wish there was more an objective. Maybe it's something I'll load up with like all sorts of crazy anime horse mods, and then that will make it crazy and fun. But just out of the box for 13 years of early access, I was kind of expecting more.
What more were you looking for?
An end goal. I don't think the
but
map
why is
being...
that? Okay, well...
Again, this is a me problem. I fully realize this is a me problem. But the fact that like you can't escape the town by just like walking around the barrier on the bridge is kind of dumb. Like, give, like, these are the end times. Like, this is how you died. Yeah, I get it. But like, why am I playing this? To just like keep playing it? I don't know. Like, I'm still in that rut right now.
You gotta
of like,
spite the person that tells you you're gonna die. You have to say, fuck you, I'm not gonna die.
I
am gonna survive. You can't tell me I'm gonna die.
But I don't want to do that via sowing seeds in the ground.
We all die eventually.
Yeah, I'd rather sow seeds in my real backyard than doing it in the yard work simulator version. I don't know. Again, it's a me problem. I'm happy to say I'm at fault there.
Andrew, tell us about your problem.
I agree. It is your
It is a you problem, but also like, wouldn't like Donkey Kong Arcade suck if it was just a climbing game? Like, you know, you just have like an objective. Anyway, totally valid form of fun. Personal preferences, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so going back to ZombieCon 2010 in beautiful Seattle, Washington, I showed up with a glimmer in my eye, young Andrew Harshman, dressed up per the Zombie Survival Guide by Max Brooks, who was present at the convention, and I had him sign my copy of the Zombie Survival Guide.
He's holding it up right now. He's quite proud of this.
Absolutely. And he signed it. He said, it says on the inside of the dust jacket, hey, Andrew, you look so ready, ! But turn to page 63. And of course, on page 63, there is a neat little diagram of someone with long hair like mine getting pulled on by a zombie claw and devoured.
That's actually really good.
It's so good. It's so good.
That makes me like this guy a lot.
And look, here's the deal. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't cut my hair. And I also can't. Another thing I can't change about myself is my dislike of looting. The loot needs to be really exciting for my monkey brain to engage with it, for my lizard brain to like what I'm seeing. And the interface needs to be like some next level, super convenient, borderline, somehow fun and rewarding to use. The looting system in this game is pretty solid, and I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate, you know, what they've built here. in Andrew points, because we, of course, we know I'm using a different scale than my coworkers who bamboozled me, is 6.87 points, which, hey, that's not so bad. That's right behind Dead Cells. That's ahead of Rainbreaker. But it is, unfortunately, 16 slots below Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team.
Garbage. Don't listen to this man. He just voided all credibility he tried to build up there.
I will agree that Pokemon Rescue Team would be made a lot better if you could perform vehicular manslaughter in Pokemon Square. So anyway, Colin, take us out of here.
I am going to give it, of course, the most important thing, which is it is 25 slots ahead of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team.
Thank God.
I'm giving it a 7.5, and I'm going to, with the very strong caveat of I only played 5 hours of this game, which is, I feel like, almost a criminal amount in order to be rating this game. Granted, it's the only 5 hours of video games I was able to fit in the last 2 weeks, but so I'm giving this 7.5 off a preliminary result. I'm pretty sure that's a floor, not a ceiling. This is the kind of game that I have a strong suspicion that I would get very sucked into if I get over the initial hump. It's got, there's a large learning curve of like reading the wiki, which is not my favorite initially. I will absolutely do it incessantly once I get into a game, but it has to get its hooks into me. So I feel like that's one of the biggest problems with the game is like, it does have a pretty steep on-ramp to get into where you're in some sort of flow state, or you're doing stuff, or you have like so far I've just been kind of like aimlessly wandering. I do think that having some sort of proximal goal system, at least early on, where it's like, hey, the house I started in has a map, and I know that like I should, there's like Billy Bob friend with guns house is 17 houses down the line, like I should try to get there, just as like an initial starting goal. You don't have to do it, just it exists. And then maybe like a couple of different goals scattered around the map of like things that are obvious points of interest that might become like maybe not end game goals, but like mid late game goals. Like I guess make it to Louisville is like a good goal, but it's not.
That's a 200 hour goal. That's not a quick goal.
If
you want a quick goal, I'm happy to lay out like the newbie,
I don't know, but that's the thing is I don't like, yes, please tell me after the podcast, but that's not something that I should have to be like, well, my friend who's played 100 hours in the game is telling me how I should have fun in it. Like a game should be able to tell you within itself how to have fun. It should have a better wiki within this system, like, because it knows you're going to be looking at stuff. It's hard to find out what stuff's crafting, but like, I think it's got a lot of stuff going on good for it. I'm going to say I would love to play more of this game. I don't know if I will, but if given an ample amount of time, I probably would like this game a lot. And that's about as much as I can rate it for right now. So, Will, tell us why it's the best game.
Oh my goodness, this game, it's hard, which is a requirement for good games. I think. I don't think, is there an easy game out there that's good?
Chess.
Pokemon Mystery.
Got him.
Okay. Thank you, Colin, for that very smart comment there. This is hard. It takes and I agree that its ability for it to put its hooks in you is like the biggest challenge it has to overcome, because as you're entering the game, you're like, oh, okay, now I've conquered my house. What do I do now? Okay, I've got food to last me a few days. I've got water, infinite supply. I'm watching TV. What do I do now? Oh, well, I guess I go raid the neighbor's house. Sure. Oh, there's some zombies there. No problem. I had this, you know, this not kitchen knife, whatever. And then you're eventually like, oh, you know, you got killed because you, while you were raiding, you were faced towards the cabinet in that kitchen while you were trying to pull out these cans of mushroom soup. And the zombie comes up behind you. You didn't expect it. And then you learn a valuable lesson. You learn that lesson that you cannot turn your back on anything for any amount of time. You can never assume that there's not a zombie in every single shadow. And so this game is one where it punishes you over and over and over again. And as you get punished, and it sucks because it's permadeath and there's no save point, and you have to start again, then you get like, I don't know. For me, I got this sense of excitement of like, okay, I learned how I fucked up, and now I'm going to try something new. And there's so many phases as you go from like, I have a 1 week character, to I have a 2 week character, to a month. As soon as you get to a month, you have no more electricity. You have no more water. And so you have to start to like take into account all of the complexities of the scenarios out there. And 2 months, 3 months, what does it look like a year? At every single point, there's a new challenge, there's a new objective. And yeah, for the current run I'm on right now, I thought it was 60 hours. It's probably about 80 or 90 hours right now I have into this current run. And that's an insane amount, at least for me, to not die. And all my other ones were like, it's almost like an exponential curve sort of thing. Like, oh yeah, I died in an hour. I died in like 3 hours. Oh, I died in six. I died in like, you know, I finally got a few days in. And so it built up. And now finally there's this character where you learn all the simple ways to die. And then you're like, how do I absolutely crush risk? How do I control all the weapons, have the highest level of security? And that to me, as someone who's one of my primary objectives in games is this phrase I like to use, but I know it sounds quite insane when you say it out loud, but like, I want to protect what's mine. And that sounds crazy, but like, that to me is almost it's like a raw human sense of like of purpose. And so
you want to build a base.
Yeah,
this
game,
build bases.
Yeah, I want a compound where I'm walking around the perimeter of it with my dog, and like, these are in real life, you know, these are the things that I want. And like, in this game I get to like simulate my want to escape from society that I hate, and like, and to create a lifestyle. I don't know about being alone, but like, yeah, solitude, that's fine in many ways. And this game lets you like live out this fantasy, and it's always building. It's always improving. You're always learning. I gave this game a 9.5 out of 10. This is one of the best games ever created. And everyone else here has played the game for what, 10 hours or less? 5 hours, I think, is what I heard a lot of. Yeah.
Not enough.
They don't know what they're talking about. Just disregard everyone here. This is an incredible game. It's easy, like I said, it's easy to bounce off of, like I did initially, because it's so complex. But once you get into it, once this guy hooks into you, you're like, this is the game for me. And I, at 116 hours, I don't see the death that I'm inevitably going to have from something as stupid as eating an uncooked egg that almost got me. That literally today, that almost got me. And like, that is something that's I'm going to play for another 100 hours, 200, 300, 400.
How did it almost kill you? Did you just like...
Because it makes you sick. Like, my character, I selected like I get extra sick when I eat bad things. And because it's like a minus characteristic, so you can get better things, like other positive traits. And because of that, like, it really affected me. I had cooked ones in my inventory, and I had uncooked. And I accidentally selected the uncooked one to eat. And that fucked me up. I had to like immediately eat all my best food, get my best sleep in. And even then my health went, it got super low before I finally got cured. And that happens all the time. That I had like 95% of my health gone earlier when I stepped into a flame. Incidentally, like I was like, and this is the thing you learn, it's like campfires, super dangerous. And as you move like things into the campfire, your character will pivot just like without you like telling him to, and he walks right into the campfire, and then you just lose all your health, and you're like, I'm on fire, what do I do? I've never been on fire before. I guess there's a right click option to extinguish. Okay, now I guess I'm gonna have to bandage, disinfect. And it's super intense, and that's just, I don't know, I love all that stuff. This is me ranting about how great this game is for a long time now. 9.5. This is, I think, the fourth best game I have on here. Let's see, Will rankings. Yeah, no, it's tied for third with Balatro. So Rimworld, or Slay the Spire, Rimworld, Balatro and Project Zomboid are tied for 9.5. Whew, what a great game! I'll play it. You should all play it.
It's high praise. Yeah, that'll put Project Zomboid overall on our number 36th overall out of 89 games that we played. You know, it's a good like upper part of the curve there. So not doing too
One
shabby.
slot ahead of Monster Train 2.
Yeah, run a good streak here with we're consistent. We're consistent with our ratings numbers. Similar games to this. This one was hard because this game is so unique. There aren't really a whole lot of games that are like similar, like ticking all of the boxes. But there are some games that are similar in one direction, and some that are similar in another direction. But if you're a big hater on our Cataclysm Dark Days Ahead, see our previous episode on that. I'm not sure if I would recommend that episode to people who really like that game. We did not have a fun time with it. Terminus Zombie Survivor is another previous ep. RimWorld, I would kind of classify that as similar to this in a way. Again, if we're kind of squinting at it, this game feels, in terms of games that we haven't covered yet, this game feels very similar to like Don't Starve to me, to like open world like survival type stuff. Build a base, get your engine running of food and all that. Over the different board game weekend, the call-in that I was attending, I was testing out a little bit of a game called Neo, NEO Scavenger, which is almost like a top-down 4X board game slash survival game, which I think is more kind of like near future sci-fi type stuff. But there's the classic, also in development for 25 plus years. More, I don't know if you could really call it a traditional roguelike because open world survival stuff, but Unreal World, we talk a little bit about
Oh
it
yeah.
on our music episode. It like, what if this game, but Bronze Age? And bronze is cracking, as they say. There's some zombie ones that I was looking at that seem kind of interesting. Like, there's a game called One Bit Survivor, which is like maybe like a dungeon crawler with like Game Boy aesthetic, but like kind of cool animations. There's Zed Zone. There's They Don't Sleep, some other kind of like lesser known titles. One that that we mentioned earlier, that's gotten a more kind of official Steam release, Ellen, Elin, is a similar kind of like big static open world, but all the stuff in it is so dynamic and emergent that it is effectively like procedurally generated. Stay tuned and a half for Dwarf Fortress for sure. Oh, I guess we did a previous episode on Streets of Rogue, which I guess is like chaotic enough. I don't know, like it's not quite the same. There was one game that I was playing that was like, well, this has farming in it and gunning down zombies, but it feels more kind of attuned to the Scott end of the spectrum of Atomic Crops, which is post-apocalyptic. It's I get very strong Zombies Ate My Neighbors vibes from it, from like Super Nintendo. There's some other zombie ones. I think Zero Sievert is like an extraction shooter that's kind of top-down cartoony. And then of course, who could forget mentioning Escape from Dukhov, as something that for whatever reason is tagged as a roguelite action game. But there's something, I feel like there's something similar about like extraction shooters returning to base with your extracted loot, with this, that yeah, if you're patient enough to rewind the episode 5 times and hear me list all that stuff out, go check those games out. But that'll wind down our Project Zomboid episode here. If you want to write in with your zombie apocalypse survival stories, grogpodzone@gmail.com. Our Mastodon, grogpod@gamedev.place, is where you can find that. And our website, grogpod.zone, has all of the rankings and stuff. But as we hop out of this episode, Colin, what are we picking to check out for the episode coming up after this one?
We're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to play the mobile phone game Hoplite, which is a roguelike puzzle chess simulator game. I'm not really sure how to describe it, but it's small. It's perfectly adapted for when you're going on a week-long ski trip and you won't have access to your enormous gaming PC. So, hopefully, we'll have some fun times on a smaller screen.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've picked out a mobile exclusive game, and this one is well regarded. And I remember dinking around with it some time ago and thinking this seems interesting. Will love the chess tactics vibe to it. But that'll do it for our Project Zomboid episode here. And to play us out, well, you know, all these zombies, you know, all this dreary Cormac McCarthy style apocalypse scenarios. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can win this, friends. Maybe we can win this. And we'll play out with some zombie survival tunes from Project Zomboid. Get you in the mood for that final movie in the Dune franchise.